We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no. There's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to an emergency episode of the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 411. You and I were supposed to be in Tampa right now, Scott, and yeah. I'm looking around. I am in my bedroom. You are in your office. That's not Tampa.
No, it's not Tampa. It's not Tampa. This coronavirus took over the... It's literally taking over the world, man. It's depressing, dude. This whole thing is just sad, I gotta tell you. I mean, we were looking forward to this trip for so long, and it's like it's always like the beginning of the season, the beginning of spring training for us, really. And nope, no spring training, no Yankees games, no hanging out with a bunch of people, no drinking beers, no smashing freaking apples. It's all gone.
It's been a wild 24 hours. Yeah, we were so excited for this trip. We had this trip planned. How long ago did we have this date? It was like December, right? We picked these dates out.
Yeah, it was even before that. Honestly, I think it was like November or something. There's a bunch of dogs fighting outside my house right now. It's like I think they have coronavirus. They
know. Yeah, they know it's no. I saw dogs are immune.
Oh, are they?
Uh-huh. So yeah, we've had this plan for a long time. Nick, I think summed it up best where he said, as soon as Altuve's home run landed, I was looking forward to spring training trip. And that's the truth. Like, you get down there, you feel like you're starting. It's almost like baseball new year. Things are starting over and you feel good. And it was already going to be a weird weekend because of the coronavirus and just sort of like the surrounding aspect of being at a large event, traveling, flying on an airplane, etc. But then last night with the presidential update, the NCAA tournament, NBA suspending their play, and then it just escalated so quickly. Celebrities are getting it. Tom Hanks has coronavirus, and then you knew Major League Baseball was going to make an announcement. Originally, they were going to have a meeting on Friday. That was moved up to Thursday. It had to be moved up to Thursday. They could not just remain silent for all of Thursday while the rest of the world is panicking and freaking out.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering, like, how is MLB going to screw this one up? Like, are they actually going to wait until Friday until everybody... like for our personal case, obviously we have this event on Saturday. We have 200 people going down to Tampa. I know some are local.
Some are already there. But a lot of people have tweeted us being like, hey, I landed already.
Yeah, our guy Anthony is down there like watching, you know, watching all the different practices. He went to the House of Ale or Yard of Ale. And it's just, it's depressing, man. But the thing is like, were they going to make the decision? Was it going to happen? I'm very thankful that they did. You know, I thought that, you know, we're so used to them screwing up these PR things.
Well, for a second, I thought they screwed it up.
Yeah. Oh, because Joel Sherman's tweet?
Joel Sherman had the wrong date on when play for spring training was going to be suspended. His original tweet said Saturday. And you're like, okay, so what the hell happens on Friday? Like, games go on as normal? People are just supposed to show up at the stadium like nothing is wrong? That would have been so typical MLB to be like, no, everything's fine on Friday, but Saturday is when shit gets real.
Right, and there were reports earlier in the day, too, before anybody has announced anything about MLB, but everybody's suspending, like, the teams are suspending, the Yankees are suspending the scouts. They're not letting anybody travel. They're like doing all these things, but it's fine if the fans go and travel to these games. Let's not tell them. But I take it all back, all my thoughts of ill will towards them, because they came out and did something which was good. So
it had to be done. It sucks, had to be obviously.
I mean, they were literally put no there was no choice there, because everybody, I mean, they freaking canceled the NCAA tournament. It's crazy.
The whole thing NBA, is wild. The NBA season is halted. Like, the only thing still going on is WrestleMania, because Vince McMahon is a psychopath and wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to eventually be canceled. I tell you the one thing I'm very interested to see, though. I wonder if they just roll out the XFL and just keep going, because now this would be like the greatest time for the XFL ever to gain some traction in sports.
No sports are happening.
Yeah, I bet they're like, you know what? XFL, we're gonna risk it. Let's go. This is let's see what
how badly do you want it?
Yeah, this is like right on their narrative, and it's actually kind of ideal for them. When global catastrophe happens, the XFL still plays.
But yeah, for so many reasons, this sucks. Obviously, we don't have baseball, and we don't know when we're gonna have baseball. Spring training indefinitely suspended. The season suspended at least 2 weeks.
It's gonna be. It's gonna be more than that.
I think it's gonna be more. I'm happy they did not put a set date on it, because there's no way they know. We don't know where this is going. It's rapidly escalating. I don't want to get too much into the weeds on coronavirus. Like, this is not the podcast for that.
Right.
But I did listen to Joe Rogan head on a disease expert the other day, and they talked for like 2 hours about the coronavirus. And coming away from that podcast, listening to an expert, reading a lot of information. This shit is not going away in 2 weeks or 4 weeks. It is months. It is months to go away. So I don't know if sports are going to be suspended for months. I don't know if they're prepared to do that. If after a month and a half, they figure, okay, like life needs to go back to normal eventually. I don't know where you go from here, because once you suspend play and games and large gatherings for coronavirus, do you have to wait until coronavirus is gone? That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
That's not going to happen April 9th. That's not going to happen May 1st. It's probably not going to happen by June 1st.
No, yeah, they're obviously going to try to contain this thing and keep it into small areas of known contamination. The problem right now is that, you know, there's that incubation period of whatever it is. It's like 5 to 15 days or something, whatever they said it was. Like, that's the scary part, is that you don't know if it's coming. And, you know, I think a lot of people in the beginning, and this is, we could get into very deep discussion about this entire thing. We could go Joe Rogan 2 hours on this and the impact of society and how everything has come about. But, I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe what the media is saying. And then, and people, I think, you know, it's pretty clear on social media. You can see that people have dismissed a lot of it, you know, wrongfully so, but, you know, they're almost conditioned to the nonsense that's spread out there on social and whatever else. It's just, it's a crazy thing. And this whole, like, you're seeing all the sports close down, and there's such a trickle down effect too. I mean, think about all the people that work there, the people that cover it. Like, there's a huge trickle down effect for this whole thing. It's going to be pretty crazy.
It's trickle down effect for an entire society, not just sports. Yeah. But when you just narrow it down to sports, yes, all the people, obviously all the fans who want to go to the game, that affects them. It affects all the workers who plan to work concessions and work gates and all that kind of stuff. Security, grounds crew, everything is affected on down the line. Wherever you think it stops, it doesn't.
Right.
It keeps going down the line.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And, You know, even the threat of this, I mean, obviously, if you guys have been, whoever's listening to the show, if you've been listening for a while, you know my personal situation with Kemp, my son, who has a heart condition. And in that case, like, you know, you got to start thinking about other things. Like, if this incubation period now is 5 to 15 days, I was, even if they didn't get canceled, I was probably not going to be able to go. In fact, I wasn't going to be able to go because of the incubation thing, the stage. You know, I wouldn't know if I had it. And I wouldn't be able to risk that because he is a high-risk population. I know kids supposedly aren't getting it as much as some of the older folks, but, you know, he's a high-risk person in general. So it wouldn't be, I just wouldn't be able to go because of that. I mean, there's situations across the world with different people that have, you know, individual different things going on where this is affecting it. It's just, it's crazy, man, the amount of people that this is affected. And if you think about, you know, I don't even know where it originally started, but, you know, when we first hear about it, it was in China, you know, however far away. This on the other side of the globe, and now it's here.
Supposedly, someone ate a bat in West Africa sometime in late November, and that's how it was transmitted from animals to humans.
Are you being serious? I thought you were joking when you said that.
No, I'm being serious. This is coming from the Joe Rogan podcast, but they can actually basically carbon date these sorts of viruses, way you can carbon date fossils and stuff like that, depending on the mutations and how quickly it's spreading and a number of different factors.
We got a doctor and a scientist on this podcast. Don't worry about it.
And listen, I'm just regurgitating information, and I'm hopefully regurgitating it accurately. But they said their best guess is third week of November was when it was transmitted from animals to humans. And I don't want to get political. I have never gotten political on the show, and I hope we never get political on the show because we're a baseball podcast. But the United States did not act fast enough. They basically, like, people, all the jackasses on Twitter poo-pooed it for a while. And here we are now.
So. I mean, I think that's one of those systemic things when you have media just blowing up things that aren't supposed to be. I don't know. Again, we're in uncharted waters with this whole thing. It's pretty crazy. But again, I do applaud the fact that the baseball took action. NBA kind of had to with that guy. And look, I know the guy was a jackass. I forget his name. The center for
Goddard.
Yeah.
Goddard.
I feel bad a little bit too, because I know it was in jest. Like he was being a jackass.
Gobert.
Yeah. And he understands that he was being a jackass, whatever it is. So I kind of feel bad.
Not NBA guys.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for that whole situation just because he knows it was stupid. Like we all know it was stupid. He's not a villain. Like,
put yourself in his shoes.
Yeah. It was dumb.
And it's like, it's exactly something when you're like a young guy, like hanging around your bros, like it's exactly something you would do. Oh, look, I'm sick. Let me rub my hands all over everything.
Yeah, it was just dumb.
In hindsight, he looks like a jackass.
Right. But. Well, yeah, exactly. So that was crazy. Like, and how fast this whole thing started, and then
well,
just
no,
like,
how fast
went
it escalated in
the
last 24 hours.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, we started talking about what are our contingency. We didn't have any discussions on contingency plans until Wednesday afternoon, and by Thursday morning, basically, we canceled everything. So that's how fast it escalated.
And when you get to a certain point, like we were in such limbo that, you know, we had a big Airbnb that we had to cancel. People had flights that they had to adjust and cancel. You can't get through to any of the airlines. I still have no idea what's up with my flight. I just didn't show up. I sent emails and messages, but I couldn't get through on the phone by any means. I couldn't get through in any of those chats. It was all stuffed up. So, you know, I guess I'll just figure that out later. But there's a lot of things that have to happen in a short amount of time. And, you know, the writing was on the wall last night. As soon as the NBA went down, I'm like, you know, those dominoes are going to fall. Because as soon as the public pressure becomes high enough and the media starts covering it, these teams are going to have to do it. You just can't risk any kind of one person gets sick from one of these events and you're screwed. With anything, with public perception, just a nightmare of PR right there. So I kind of knew it was going to come. It was just a matter of how fast they were going to do it. And honestly, at that point, like when you realize that it was going to happen, you're like, okay, can you just do it so that we can have time to act and like and get people in the right mindset and try to help people out as much as we can, because people are now going to expect refunds. And just so everybody knows, to update on all that stuff, I have spoken with the ticket office down in Tampa, and they are issuing refunds. You know, we'll hopefully see everything by next week, and then we'll, you know, we'll make sure that everybody's taken care of. So we're taking care of all those things. I don't want anybody to think that you know, they're not going to get their money by any means. That's not happening. We're taking care of all that stuff. We will always do the right thing by you guys. That's one of our top priorities. It always has been, always will be. So yeah,
unfortunately we're just at the mercy of the Yankees and how quickly they refund everybody, because
right. Yeah,
then we're able to refund people. But yeah, and I get it, people, you just want to know. A ticket to our event, and they want to know, so we're trying to be as transparent
and
as
everybody's
possible.
Been awesome, honestly, like all over social, and we haven't even gotten that many emails, which I was surprised about, so I'm proud of all you guys.
I think it's because no one wanted to admit that this was possible, and everyone just wanted the business to go on as usual. Yeah. Everyone wants to go to spring training, have fun, go to the event, go to the after party. Like, I think about all the stuff we had planned. We were all supposed to be there at different points on Thursday. We pushed our flights to Friday just to be safe, just to bide time, because we knew an announcement was coming. We just didn't know when it was going to be announced, that what ended up happening. So we sort of just bided our time, but we were all supposed to be there right now. We were all supposed to be picking up items for the house and preparing for a Friday barbecue and going to the Friday night game and meeting everyone, 200 people at the event on Saturday. Like, none of that's going to happen now. And that's what I'm most upset about. I'm even more upset about all the things that we're not able to do this weekend than not having baseball for a few weeks.
Right. I know it's definitely one of those surreal situations. And for people that have, you know, obviously we have events going on through the season too. I have no idea what's going on with
yeah.
that. Baseball doesn't know. The guys up in the Yankees don't know yet. Like, there's just so much unknown what's happening right now, because they don't know when they're going to start. They don't know how the season's. We're about to get into a very strange situation on the baseball field too. I mean, is this going to be a shortened season? Are they going to have this season? Are they not going to have this season? Are they going to try to play as many games as possible and then move all postseason games to neutral dome locations?
Like, I wrote about that today.
I mean? Like,
that's the worst idea I've ever heard. Can you imagine?
No, but I could see baseball trying to do it.
Oh, that would be a complete money grab.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you just don't. Nobody's been here before, so we don't know what to do. We don't know what to expect. And I think everything is on the table, you know, until it's not. And, you know, it's just a wait and see.
Just so people know what we're talking about. So Ken Rosenthal wrote an article today on The Athletic, and The Athletic's actually free for like the next few days on anything coronavirus related. And this is coronavirus related, so you can read the article.
Way to capitalize.
I also wrote an article in response to Rosenthal's article, because he laid out the different scenarios, what MLB could do in response. And one of them was to shorten the season. And I think that's the most logical outcome for this.
Yeah.
They're going to be a shortened season. But he said owners have already discussed, and it has been discussed, different ways to make up games. One of them is to skip the All-Star week, so you don't have to take off 4 or 5 days. That makes sense. That seems like an easy compromise. I said you could even schedule doubleheaders and expand rosters, and I'd be okay with that.
Expand rosters. Then, now we're talking. That's a different game. Now we're talking, like, you know, dipping into the minors, and there's going to be guys coming off the couch. You know, we might have yeah. open tryouts.
Ooh. More MLB jobs. Wow. More MLB jobs. Whatever. If you schedule one or two doubleheaders a week, and on those days you get 27, 28 men on your roster, who knows? Whatever. If owners are dead set on making up gate revenue and TV revenue. But the doozy was that they would just play the regular season through October. And then all postseason games would be played, obviously, in November, in New York, in northern cities. You can't play outdoor baseball in November. You can barely play it in the end of October. They would play in domed stadiums on neutral fields. And I thought that was the stupidest proposal I've ever heard. The entire point of MLB postseason is either having your home field advantage,
which was completely erased last year.
No, but that's what you play for. It's part of the atmosphere. It's everything. If the Yankees are playing Houston in the playoffs in November 12th next year, and it's in Miami, Florida, what the hell is that?
I'm going to that game. I mean, I can tell you that. I'm making a trip down to South Beach to go watch that.
No, that's not ideal. That's not what That's not what I want anyway. I would gladly sacrifice 30 regular season games if it meant play the postseason in October as planned on regular in regular stadiums where they should be played.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it would be interesting. Look, if you're not going to be able to get though, depending on first of all, it all depends on when you start the season because you know,
this could all be moot if they don't start the season until June or July. Like you can't make up all those games.
Yeah, so who knows? And I think obviously
but
right
they could
now
make up some. They could make up a percentage of them. That's the thing that I'm worried about.
Yeah. Okay.
Is then, owners then don't want to lose 3 months, but the, you know,
when you're looking at the reschedules and you're trying to determine what the schedules look like now, who are you playing? What games are you cutting out? Are you just going up to
exactly
that point?
The domino effect is there's so many different layers to this. If the season starts June 1st, do you just pick up the schedule on June 1st?
Right.
Do you start playing your opening day? What you would have on opening day on June 1st and then just don't play the last 2 months of the season? Do you rework the schedule so you don't play certain teams? Then you get into so many scenarios where it's just different stuff happens. It might not be fair. Teams could get screwed. Players could get screwed. Who the hell knows?
So looking at the schedule, I'm very much in favor for starting our season with the first game of the year and then just moving forward from there. Let's not pick it up in June or May or anything like that. Let's just play Baltimore, then Tampa, then Toronto, then Baltimore again, then Oakland and Texas and Cincinnati and Detroit. Yeah, you know, this is good. We play Detroit twice in the month of in the first month. We play Baltimore twice in the first month. So
and they probably don't play Detroit again for the entire season.
No, they don't. So no, this is good. We need to do that because if they start in June, you have Seattle, Tampa, Kansas City, Boston, Pittsburgh. Well, that's not bad either. Minnesota, Baltimore. Actually, the June schedule is pretty good too. So let's if we could eliminate May, that would be helpful.
I think September is tough too.
Yeah, September is So if we could eliminate the back end. You know, I don't know. I think if we start it from the beginning, it's okay. Yeah, erasing the last half of the schedule would work out for the Yankees, I'd say.
There's also relocation discussions. There's empty stadium discussions, which I put out a poll. I'm actually interested in your opinion. Mm-hmm. Would you rather they wait until everything is clear and then you can go back and it's business as usual, fans can go in the stadium, or would you want them to start playing sooner with empty stadiums?
Yeah, I think they should play when they can. Empty stadiums, I'm good with. I think they need to put the product on the field because, I mean, I think you do what you can as soon as you possibly can. You know, try to, if you have to acclimate, you know, slowly into business as usual, then fine. But get the product on the field. If these guys, if they feel safe enough where they can get, you know, these guys and they're relatively quarantined each team and the people that are in there are good, then, you know, why not? It's a relatively sterile environment, you know? And hopefully it's
would you
it's
play those games? Them. Where would you play those games? Would you play them in the normal stadiums or would you do it at the spring training facilities?
Oh, I don't know. That's a little bit further than I've thought. I don't think it matters. Does it? No one's going to be there. So who cares? Probably.
No,
you probably want to do it in spring training because then you
have
easy travel.
Because there's less travel. Yeah. It's easy travel. You contain things better.
Yeah.
So obviously the Yankees would have to play some teams in Arizona because West Coast teams play in Arizona, East Coast teams play in Florida. Mm-hmm. So when it comes time for them to play the Anaheim Angels, you got to fly to Arizona and play.
So if you
rework the schedule so you can stay in Arizona for a month, stay in Florida for a month or whatever. I have no clue.
If you look at our schedule right now, the first 2 weeks we have up until we have Baltimore, then we have Tampa, then we have Toronto, then we have Baltimore again, and then we have Oakland on the 10th of April. So that would be the first game that would be in Arizona because then you have Oakland, Texas, Cincinnati, and then Detroit, Cleveland, Detroit. So
Detroit is in Cleveland, I'm pretty sure, Florida, but I believe Cincinnati is Arizona.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's Arizona too, but
okay.
But Detroit, I believe, is there used to be in Lakeland. I don't know if they're any there anymore, but they're in Florida.
So these are all the scenarios that we're going to see how it plays out over the next few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of scenarios. Lots of scenarios. You know what's going to be interesting? And look, we made this announcement a while ago, but we added a third podcast to the Yankees, to the Bronx Pinstripes family. Some guys that live on the Upper East Side, the 161 boys, they're going to be playing a lot of MLB The Show coming up. And I think I'm about to go buy a PS4 and get back in the game. I think it's time
for
me to
unretire.
You're going to
invest in an esports team?
Yeah. I think it's time to unretire and get back in the game because these guys are all about it. We're going to start throwing up some MLB The Show content, which I'm excited for because I used to be a big video game guy, and I've really not lost it. Like I've gone home and played my little brother and whooped his ass in many of these games very, very recently. So it's still there. I still got like the fast twitch and the thumbs. So I think I'm going to go out and buy some game systems and get into it because you know what we're going to be dying for some sports.
Yeah, there's going to be nothing. There's no live sports action.
So yeah, esports is about to tick up.
What's the last console you owned?
A PlayStation 3 or yeah.
Oh, so you've owned something more recent than I have.
Yeah, because I've used it for, you know, streaming movies and things like that too. So yeah,
I think the last one I owned was an Xbox One. So I was never a huge video game guy.
I was a big video game guy. I was a big sports video game guy. I was a huge Madden guy. Used to destroy the Blitz. And I played a lot of MLB actually. NBA 2K.
Rank your top three. You don't have to say specific games, but like sports game franchises.
Sports game franchise. Okay. This is back in the day. This one's going to date me, but Sega Genesis, NHL, NHL, NHL.
Say, what are you, Tecmo Bowl guy?
Tecmo Bowl is fun, but I didn't even really play that much till college, actually. So that was more of a throwback. But the NHL series on Sega was legit. 94 was awesome. There were so many little cheat moves and things you could do. 95, you can make Gretzky's head bleed from swingers. You see in the movie, you know that move. But that's actually how I got into hockey back then. I was a huge, huge hockey fan. I was a huge Devils fan, and it was because of that video game. So the fact that MLB The Show is coming out right now, it's tonight, midnight is the early release for it. I actually think it's going to be interesting to see how the younger population who plays more video games than obviously some of the older people, how baseball ticks up a little bit because this game is going to be on the forefront of everything when you're talking about baseball. It's going to be MLB The Show. So I'm interested to see how that actually works and how that has like a kind of a long tail effect because NBA 2K is massive, obviously. And then next year, MLB The Show is going cross-platform.
Yeah, so NBA has the 2K franchise. Baseball, the 2K franchise that Jeter used to be on the cover for, like that's no longer popular.
So MLB The Show is a good one. I'd say that was the other one, my other franchise. And then I love Madden. I mean, Madden's always been a favorite of mine. I played that across different platforms. So,
did you play the MVP franchise on PlayStation?
No.
For baseball?
No, I didn't.
That was my favorite baseball series. Yeah. It was MVP Baseball 2003, 4, and 5. It was Pujols on the cover, Manny on the cover 1 year, and then I'm forgetting the other cover. I think Barry Bonds was one of the covers. But in one of the years, there was a glitch in the game where left-handed hitters had 1/100th or like 1/10th the power of right-handed hitters, so it was next to impossible to hit a home run with a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. There were glitches in the all the Madden games, there have been glitches that I remember. I remember in college, I used to play with the Cowboys with Keyshawn Johnson just because Keyshawn was there, and I could run one play and beat anybody, and they couldn't stop it. It was just I knew it was unbeatable, so I won a lot of bets with that just one play to Keyshawn, and then
was it a wheel route?
No, it was an out route, or it was a deep flag. It was one of those. It was just an indefensible play. You could bring your entire team over there, and he would still catch it. It was infuriating to people, and it made me so happy. and then in the NHL series, you know, in '94, you could cut straight across the goalie. If you cut straight across the goalie would sweep towards the direction that you were coming from. Every single time. So all you had to do was just wait and then it was an open net. And then in 97, you could, if you took an angle from the blue line and went directly at the goalie and then did one juke move left, right, he would always move over and the top right was open every single time. It was a goal every single time. So we used to have rules where you can't go across. You can't go across in 94. And I would literally, my brother and I used to get in like knockdown, drag out fights over this. So
that's one thing I wish, because obviously I only have a sister. Yeah. She's 5 years younger than me. So obviously we're not going to play video games. That's one thing I miss.
Yeah.
I obviously played with my buddies when we got a little bit older, but having those knockdown drag out
brother video game matchups must have been fun.
I say knockdown dragout. He is 4 to 5 years younger than me, depending on what the calendar is. I used to whoop his ass. So it was.
That's not fair. 4 to 5 years, you're always going to be more advanced at the game than he is.
Yes. Well, no. Well, yes. I mean, I was better at everything for a while until he caught up. You know, but yeah. No. It was. That's what I mean. More along the lines of, it was like, if he did it, I would kick his ass, and then if I did it, he would, you know, cry like a little bitch, and someone will get in trouble probably. But yeah, it was. Oh, shout out to my brother Tim, who is in BP Crew Denver.
I was a big Tony Hawk guy. Tony Hawk.
Never got into that. Never got into Tony Hawk. I was bad at it. That's why I just didn't.
Yeah.
It was too many buttons.
In college, I don't even remember which game it was because there were so many of them. We would just play. We would do like round robin tournaments. And I got so good at the game at one point that it was 2 minute rounds. I would either score like 5 million points or 0 points because the entire 2 minutes would just be one continuous trick.
Yeah.
So if I fell at the end, I got 0 points. But if I landed it, then I won because it was like 5 million points. And that's when I realized, like, oh, I'm not really concentrating on school. I'm just playing Tony Hawk.
Right.
I need to get my life together.
Yeah. That was NFL Blitz for me for a little while. And Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods took over my life for a little bit, too.
Ooh, Tiger Woods. That's a good Tiger one. Woods that might be in my game. Top three, actually.
Yeah, Tiger Woods was a great game until they completely took it away. And I think it's back now, I think. I'm not sure. I think
it
is.
Took
back.
Tiger Woods.
Well, yeah, when Tiger Woods was not, you know.
When Tiger Woods was like, you know, canceled for a little while.
When Tiger Woods got attacked on Thanksgiving by from his wife with a driver. Yeah, he went away for a little bit, but yeah, that was a fun game.
He's rebounded. Good for Tiger. You know what? Tiger Woods rebounded, and so is America. We're gonna rebound from coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. We're gonna smash some apples in a batting cage. That's going to happen this year. Yeah. So.
We had so many fun things planned for this weekend with Sailor Jerry Savage Apple and Blue Point and their Pinstripe Pilsner beer. We're going to hopefully do stuff with them later down the road this season. It sucks that we're not going to be with baseball for the next
at least month plus.
We're going to keep bringing you episodes. We have a lot of stuff, a lot of content planned, previewing other AL East teams, and I guess we're going to have to get creative and find things to talk about.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Seems doable.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, people are going to look for things to do. We're all going to be inside, maybe in our houses for a while. Who knows what happens here.
Yeah, so, podcasts are about to explode.
Yeah. So you guys might learn a lot more about us.
I mean, we found something to talk about for 10 minutes, video games on this episode.
There you go.
Who knows?
Yeah, and I'm literally going to go buy a PS4 in like 5 minutes and hook that up.
All right. Well, that's it. Anything else? We're going to be back on Monday, talk more about the ramifications of this, how it affects the Yankees. Maybe we'll get more news from MLB and what their plans are for the season. Injury updates to guys. Guys, submit your mailbag questions. I'm sure you've got a lot considering everything that's gone on. I think there's an interesting portion of this with salaries. And I haven't really found a clear answer.
I saw Lindsay Adler's tweet. Is that kind of what you're referring to, where a lot of the guys...
Yeah, but I also got someone on Twitter asked me about, you know, what happens with guys vesting options and they have to hit incentives and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to, I think...
Yeah, Jay Happ's not going to get it.
Jay Happ, but like other guys have incentives too on innings and games pitched. I know Dellin Betances has incentives.
Right.
So with his Mets contract. So all that stuff is going to need to be worked out. I don't know if it's going to be on a percentage basis. And if they miss 18% of the season, then everyone just gets 18% knocked off their incentive. Who the hell knows? I think it's going to need to be worked out. So I think we're about to find out is what I'm saying.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, man. I just hope everybody is, stay safe. Don't cough on anybody. If you have to sneeze or cough, do it into your elbow. Don't touch things after you touch your mouth. Don't touch your eyes. You know, all that stuff. Don't do that. Just be smart.
Yeah. Don't be the jackass from the what team is he on? Goddard? Gabbert?
I think he's with the Utah Jazz.
Okay. Again, not an NBA guy. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, We'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.